21. Now we continue to preach through 1 Samuel. And of course we're not teaching it or doing it verse by verse. We're just finding something in there of a practical nature. Turn me up just a little bit, Tommy. That will help us to live. I've been preaching 35 years, and I think I think this is my personal opinion. I think I'm qualified to preach on Bible prophecy. I've spent a lot of time studying it, and reading about it, and preached on it a number of times, and we could spend a lot of time doing that. And I think I'm qualified to preach and teach some of the books verse by verse, the doctrinal content of. Most of the New Testament books, I think I could probably teach most of those. And there's a lot of profit in that. But in my 35 years in the ministry, if I've learned any one thing by observation, it's that God's people need practical Christian living. More than they need Bible prophecy, more than they need the other. I'm not saying the other's not important. I'm not saying you shouldn't preach on it. And we do stick a little of that in here and there. But the bulk of our ministry is built on everyday, practical Christian living. It won't do us much good if we know all the ins and outs of Bible prophecy and our personal lives and our Christian lives are a shambles. If they're a disaster, what profit? What profit to us? What profit to God? See? And so if you ever wonder why we just seem to be kind of one-tracked, that's why. That's what we have found, that's what I need. And I figure I'm pretty much like you. I figure that's pretty much what you need too. Amen. And so that's why we do what we do the way we do it. Now, in keeping with that, I want to bring you a message tonight from 1 Samuel chapter 21 on a very practical subject. If you'll look down in verse 10, we'll start there. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so the king disdained him and put him away and didn't do anything with him because he thought David was nutty as a fruitcake. He was not. He was pretending. Amen. Now, January of last year, I brought you a message on this chapter called Pretenders. And I don't want to bring that same message tonight. So tonight, I want to bring you a little message entitled, Be Ye Wise. The Bible said that with all thy getting, get wisdom. Another place, the Bible said, for wisdom is the principal thing. Now, our day and age is fascinated with knowledge. We have the information superhighway. We are internet savvy. Everybody but me. I don't have turn hours on. I couldn't Google you if it meant my life. Amen. The only Yahoo I know is the one Lone Ranger used to give to Silver, you know. I am totally illiterate when it comes to computers. But our world is fascinated with them. And the big thing in our generation is to know stuff. We send our kids to school, and the only thing we're interested in them doing while they're there is to know more stuff. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's more stuff out there than you can ever know. You just can't know it all. You can't even know a little bit of it. The part you know is minuscule, microscopic. You take somebody who is the world's leading authority, the resident expert on any given subject, and he knows that one little thing, but outside of that, he's dumber than a brick. We say, oh, so-and-so's a nuclear physicist. He is so brilliant. He's an astronomer. He crunches numbers. He's brilliant. Yeah, but he probably ain't got enough sense to get across the street. Right? Now, we think we have confused knowledge with wisdom. Our young people think that if they know a lot of stuff, then they're wise. Let me ask you this. If knowledge is wisdom, how come people with all this knowledge keep making a mess out of their life? Because they're not near as smart as they think they are. They know a lot of facts and figures. They know history. They know information. They know structure. They know components. But they don't have any wisdom. It doesn't do you much good to know a whole bunch of stuff if you don't have the brains to use it wisely. And so I want to talk to you tonight. This is a one-point message. I'm just going to beat this thing to death, so just get used to it. Jack Hiles did that for 50 years. It worked for him. Amen. Sometimes you listen to old Dr. Hiles, and he'd have one-point sermon. He'd beat it to death for 45 minutes. But you know something? I remember some of them things as clear as a bell today. Amen. I got it. Now, in our text here, David has had to flee the country. They're after him to kill him. And he runs down to Achish. He thinks he's got an ally down there. And it doesn't quite turn out that way. They're saying, isn't this the king? You know, he didn't fool them very well. And he's afraid of that they're going to kill him or turn him back over to Saul. And so David said, man, ain't but one way out of this. I'm here now and I can't get away. I'll just pretend I'm nuts. And they'll say, well, he's whacked, you know, he's no threat. And so he scrabbled on the gate and he let his spittle run down. He just hustled like a little cat. And they said, this guy's whacked, you know. What do you bring him over here for? He's no good to me or you or anybody else. And so they just disdained him. They ignored him. They said, he's nuts. Now, you know what David was doing? He'd been wise. The Bible said over Matthew chapter 5, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Dr. Ruckman always said that be ye wise as serpents, harmless as doves. He said that's five serpents to one dove. You better learn to be wise. You better have some wisdom in this old world if you plan on getting through it without making a mess out of your life. If you want to get through this life without getting out of one scrape after another, one big mess after another, you better possess some wisdom. I don't care how much knowledge you got. I never will forget when I was going to, I think it was IT school, instructor training school in the Navy, but wherever it was at, I think it was there, but wherever it was, that one of these guys said, because everybody's just taking notes, you know. I mean, everybody's just writing everything. You ever see college students and high school students? They write down notes. They write down everything the guy said. You're nuts. I mean, you can't remember all that stuff. He said, don't worry about the facts. He said, you can get facts anytime. You can look facts up. He said, when you're in a class, when you're studying, don't worry about the facts. Get the principle. If you get the principle, it'll stick with you for life. You can put facts on it anytime you want to. You can go to a dictionary, a library, or a computer, or whatever, and get all the facts about anything you want to talk about anytime you want it. But if you don't know the principle, you'll never need the facts. Amen. That thing stuck in my head. And for the last 50 years, that's what I've done. I don't pay a great deal of attention to the individual facts. I always look at the principle. And that thing has held me in good stead for 50 years. Amen. If I get the principle, I got it. Because when I got the principle, I get any facts about it I want anytime I want them. Now, what we need then I'm not saying facts aren't important. Please don't misunderstand. Facts are important. But if you can only get one thing, get the principle. If you've got the principle, you can have the wisdom to use the thing properly. If you understand how the thing works, what the principle is, if I do this, this is the outcome, this is the consequence, then you're in a position to make wise decisions on how to use it. Amen? Now, so I want to talk to you about wisdom. David was wise here. He was in a bad situation. And if he had played his cards wrong, he'd have been dead man. And if David had messed up, they would have cut his throat and buried him, and you never heard anything else about David. Amen? But because he had a little wisdom, he got himself through it in one piece, and he lived to rule and reign in Jerusalem for 40 years. Right? So how did he do that? Not because he knew a lot of stuff, but because he was wise. And so let's talk about wisdom for a few minutes. And I want to do it like this. I want to give you 12 things, and we're going to start each one of them with this phrase. Sometimes being wise is. Sometimes being wise is. And then I want to give you 12 examples of wisdom. Now, these 12 examples won't cover every situation in your life, but I think after 12 times, you ought to see the principle. You ought to figure out how it works, see? If I give you 12 examples, one after another, with a slightly different look from or a different perspective from each one, you ought to get the principle so that when you leave here, when a situation arises, you know how it works. You've got the principle, therefore you can exercise wisdom. And wisdom will stay you in good stead. So here we go. Number one, sometimes being wise is to keep yourself from some people. You understand that? So it's just not wise. As a Christian, I want to live a godly life. Amen. Amen. I want my life to be clean. I want my body to be clean. I want my mind to be clean. I don't want to do anything that would hurt my testimony. I don't want to do anything that would ensnare me or entrap me, you know, give me a habit or make me dependent upon something. Amen? And a lot of times, if you hang around the wrong people, they're a snare. They're like a trap. If you hang around with certain people, their lifestyle is such that if you hang with them and you end up doing what they do, and you will do what they do, Amen. You are now, or you soon will be, what your friends are. So if you got any wisdom, it is wise to exercise discretion in who you hang around with. Amen. They say, I've been hanging with old so-and-so because they cool. Yeah, but Mr. Cool is always in trouble. He's always skirting the edge of the rules. There's always somebody watching him. Somebody's always got their eye on him because he's untrustworthy. He's unreliable. And if you hang with that crowd, guess what? They're going to watch you too. And you hang with that crowd, you'll go where that crowd does. You'll do what that crowd does. Sometimes it's wise not to hang out with some folks. I always tried to teach our children when they're growing up. I'm trying to teach my grandkids when I get an opportunity to be careful who they hang out with. When they go someplace, I say, you know, if you go someplace and there's a big team thing, you hang with the group that's involved in everything, that's out in the middle, out where everybody is. I said, do not hang with that little group that's on the fringe, that's always wanting to be outside the building. Or always wanting to go out in the parking lot. Or always wanting to step over here where there's no light. Or always wants to sit on the... Don't hang with that crowd. Have a little brains. Exercise a little wisdom. Don't you know that's the crowd that's always getting in trouble. And if you hang around with them, you'll be in trouble like them. Amen? Now them kids out there where everybody can see them, where everybody can watch them, they're not going to get in trouble. Amen? Ain't no little girl ever lost her purity hanging out in the middle. She lost her purity hanging out in the back seat. on the back of the parking lot, around behind the building. See? Separated, isolated from everybody else. Sometimes it's wise. Wisdom is to know who not to hang around with. Pick your friends. Watch who you hang out with. When they say, listen, we can have a lot more fun if we go over here. Or, you know, everybody's doing that. Let's go over it. Don't go with that crowd. Exercise a little wisdom. If what they were doing was up to speed, if it wasn't questionable, if it wasn't objectionable, they could do it right where they're at. Amen. You know why you got to go around back? You know why you got to go to the back of the parking lot? You know why you got to go on the other side of the gym where there's no light? Because your deeds are evil. That's why. Sometimes wisdom is knowing who to keep yourself from. Number two, sometimes wisdom is to keep clear of some places. You know, I'm free, white, and 21. I can go anywhere I want to. Ain't nobody tell me I can't go here, can't go there. I can go down to Beer Joint if I want to. Amen. I can go down to the adult bookstore if I want to. I'm a big boy. And nobody can tell me where I can and cannot go. I have liberty in this country. I have freedom to go wherever I want to go. And I don't need your permission to do it. However, there's some places it's not wise for me to go. Amen. There are some places if I go and you see me, I tarnish my testimony. Now, there ain't no way in the world I could go down to the adult bookstore and you come driving by in your car and see me coming out of there with brown paper wrapper under my arm. Ain't no way in the world I'm ever going to justify that in your mind. It ain't going to happen. It could be brown paper. I could have stopped and went in there to get a gallon of gasoline because I ran out down the road. But how many of y'all are going to believe that? You try it and let me see if I believe you. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, if I ran out of gas on the side of the road and the closest place with a telephone was the adult bookstore, I'm just going to walk on down the road to the next place. I'm not taking a chance on you seeing me in there. Amen. It's just not wise. It puts my... I've spent 35 years of my life trying to build a reputation. 35 years. And a preacher without a reputation is of no effect. If I lose my testimony, I might as well hang up my hat and throw in the towel and give it to Brother Lewis. Amen? I'd be worthless. You think I'm going to take a chance on losing it? You're out of your mind. Ain't going to happen. I got 35 years invested in this thing. I ain't throwing it away. You got to have a little wisdom about that kind of thing. There are some places it's wise to watch where you go. There are some places it shows wisdom if you don't go there. Amen. Now here's a fellow that had a problem drinking. And he got saved. And God delivered him. Glory to God. Amen. And boy, there's a lot of folks down here like that. There's a lot of people that had that elbow-itis, you know. And he got saved, and God delivered him from, and ain't had a drink. But you had a weakness in that area. You had a proclivity to that area. Some people, they get that honky-tonk thing in their blood. And it's just hard to quit. I mean, it pulls at them, pulls at them, pulls at them. Now, the best thing you can do, if you got any brains, if you got any wisdom, stay away from them places. Say, why? Because you know you got a weakness there. Why tempt yourself? Amen. Lead us not into temptation. Well, he won't, don't you? Amen. I mean, if you know there's an area where you were susceptible, where you showed a weakness that you tended to get in trouble, if you got any brains, stay away from those places. I don't know why in the world an ex-drunk would want to go down to the bar. Why would an ex-gambler want to hang out over at the VFW on Friday night? Amen? Fellas got a problem with pornography. Why in the world would you hang around the magazine rack at the bookstore? Amen? If you got any wisdom, there's just certain places you're just not going to go. I'm not going to go any place that would tarnish my testimony. I'm trying, by the grace of God, not to go any place that's going to make me tempted and play on my weaknesses. And ladies and gentlemen, don't be so dumb. Don't be so unwise as to think you don't have weaknesses. Don't be so wise as to say, well, I'm saved and sealed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and the devil can't get a hold of me. Sure he can. Sure he can. He tripped up better men than you. Amen. People say, well, preacher, I got victory over this. Now, listen, I'm kind of one of them AA guys, Alcoholics Anonymous sometimes. You know, they say, I'm a recovering drunk. They never healed. They're never cured. Now, if you're a Christian, I think you can say you're cured. I believe that. See? But I'm like them AA guys in the sense that I know that I'm always weak. I'm an AA guy in the sense that I know I've always got weaknesses and faults. Amen? I don't count myself as to have arrived. So therefore, I'm not going to go those places I used to go that played on my weaknesses. I'm just not going there. It's just not wise to do that. There are some places I just don't need to go. Amen. 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 Sometimes it's wise to keep yourself from some people. Sometimes it's wise to stay clear of some places. And sometimes it's wise to avoid some situations. You know, there's some situations people get themselves in is just plain dumb. Just plain dumb. They had no reason in the world they had to be in that mess. They did it to themselves because they were stupid. If they had any wisdom at all, they'd have never done it. Now, I know a man. And he's a good man. And he's been faithful for years and years now. Over 30. But there's a woman that lives close by him that just is always finding something for him to do. She's just always finding something that she needs this old boy to come and give her a hand with. Way too often. Amen. And when this old boy comes over to do whatever it is this old girl wants done, she always does it in such a way that this boy's wife can't come. And this fool keeps going. Now, I love this fool, but that's stupid. That's stupid. That's stupid. Brother, in this old world, you don't mess with the opposite sex. Male or female. If you're a woman, you don't mess with the men. If you're a man, you don't mess with the woman. We don't hug them. We don't embrace them. We give them a handshake. We're polite and cordial. We keep our distance. Amen? And if Sister Geraldine calls me and says her water pipe broke, she lives way out there in the country. And I have known her for years. I have known she's crazy in love with Brother Henry. If she called and said, Preacher, I hate to bother you, but this thing just flooding my house and I need some help. I'd get my wife and we'd take right off over there. And if my wife wasn't available, I'd say, Sister Geraldine, is Brother Henry there? Amen. You ain't going to accuse this one, buddy. I'm telling you that right now. You say, well, preacher, you overdo it. You can't overdo safety, son. Amen. But all you need is one mistake. All you need is one wagging tongue, and you're ruined for now and forever. Amen. That's one of them things. You don't get over that kind of stuff. You better have some wisdom about that. Don't put yourself in situations that can turn sour on you. Cover yourself. They call it CYA out there in the world. Amen. If y'all don't know what that is, y'all see Brother Lewis, he knows. It's amazing to me the situations that Christians put themselves in that can cause them trouble. Let's say a fellow comes in and says, I need somebody to co-sign for me down at the bank. I'm taking out a mortgage or a second mortgage, or I'm buying a car, and I need a co-signer. Now, listen, I co-sign for my wife. I might co-sign for my daddy, but I ain't co-signing for y'all. Amen? Say, why? Well, if you run out on it, and maybe, and you probably wouldn't, most of y'all probably honest and pay, you know, but if you did, then they're going to default on me. And I happen to know I can't afford to pay it. Then my reputation is shot. They say that preacher don't pay his bills. Now I was stupid for letting myself get put in that situation. If I'd have had any wisdom about me, I'd have never got there. Amen. Amen? I just said, Brother Lewis, I love you to death, but the truth is, I'd be glad to sign for it if I had the money that I could afford to lose. But since I don't, I can't risk my reputation. And he'd either have to understand that or not understand that, but I wouldn't do it. Amen? I mean, if he come and wanted me to co-sign for $100, I'd co-sign because I can cover that. I could afford to lose that. I don't want to, but I can afford it. But I couldn't afford to lose $30,000. So I'm just not going to let myself get sucked into that situation. Amen? But Christians get in business. And there's a million scenarios you can think about where people just didn't have any wisdom. And because if they had, they would never have gotten in that situation. They just don't think. They say, well, I'm just trying to help this brother and we're just trying to encourage him. So I just signed this $30,000 note. You're nuts. I mean, you're absolutely off your rocker. You're insane. But while you're in the signing business, I got... Sometimes it's wise to keep yourself from some people. Sometimes it's wise to keep to stay clear of some places. Sometimes it's wise to avoid some situation. And sometimes it's wise to take help. Amen? I know some boneheaded Christians that got themselves all jammed up and spent twice what they ought to spend or spent three times as long doing a thing because they're too hard-hearted or too hard-headed to let anybody help them or to ask anybody for help. See, that's a foolish kind of pride. So, oh, I can do it myself. I don't need nobody's help. Listen, sweetheart, everybody needs somebody's help sometime. Amen. I don't care who you are. You may not need it often, and I appreciate independence, but sometimes the wise thing to do is let somebody that either has the tools or the know-how or the opportunity, let them do it. It's not a disgrace. It's not immoral. It's not wrong. It's not wicked to every now and then have to acknowledge that you need help. And matter of fact, sometimes to refuse help is downright stupid. Sometimes it can cost you a great deal. If something doesn't get done on time or is done improperly, somebody gets hurt. I mean, there's just a million things about that. Sometimes what you need to do is say, listen, could you give me a hand? Amen? I know most of us don't like to ask for help. I'm hard on it. I've been known to be just downright stubborn about it. People say, you know, preacher, give me a call. I'll be glad to come up and give you a hand with it. And my wife says, you're going to call brother so-and-so? I said, no, I can take care of it. And it takes me three times as long, too, and I get it half done, and it looks like the dickens, you know. Sounds like I'm doing all right. Most of you wives can say amen. 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 And I know a lot of times some people are users. They take advantage. They're always looking for help. They're always looking for somebody to do it for. I understand that. But just because they're that way doesn't mean you have to be that way. But don't be so stupid that when you do need help, you can't ask for it. Amen. Amen. Now, I got to move along here before my wife starts preaching. Number five. Sometimes it's wise, it's wise to know when to keep your mouth shut. Now, I could camp here a while. My wife ain't learned that yet. Some people, if they could just learn to shut up. Before God, I think some people just born, they just love to hear their teeth click together. They got to talk about anything and everything and anybody and everybody. They don't have to know anything about it. They just blah, 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 you know. And they talk all day long and they get through, they ain't said nothing. If you took everything they said in 8 or 10 hours and analyzed it and filtered it down to get the content, you couldn't fill up a peanut shell. They just run their mouth. Amen? Now, sometimes it's wise to be quiet. Sometimes it's wise just to keep your mouth shut. Some wise man once said, a closed mouth gathers no foot. There's a lot of truth in that. But boy, we just have this compelling urge to put our 2 cents worth in. Well, if you ask me, well, we didn't. Well, the way I see it, well, we don't care. I'll tell you what I think about it. Nobody's interested. You know, sometimes if you don't say anything, nobody knows how dumb you are about it. We got these kids. I got some kids that work for me. I call them kids. They're in their 20s. They're kids. And something will come in. I say, I need you to go do so-and-so. Well, I ain't never worked on one of them before. And they don't want to go. Well, the truth is, none of us have ever worked on one of them before at some time or another. Amen. And so I go and do it and take them with me and make them watch, hoping they'll pay attention and learn, which they generally don't, but that's the intent. And I told them, kid, I said, listen, you know something? When you go and you're watching me, learn something. I said, if you'll keep your mouth shut, I'll never know how much of that you didn't know or understand. If I go and watch you, I go and watch Brother Lewis. Now, he's a controlled wizard. I watch him. I had to call him out on a job a couple weeks ago, come set some things. I watched him. I had to go back on it, by the way. I watched him. See, why are you doing that? If he's not careful, I'll keep my mouth shut, and he'll never know how much of that I didn't know. And if I watch him a couple of times, I won't have to call him no more. I guarantee you, old dummy will get it. If I'll be watching, and I'll see what you did. I'll watch the order in which you did it, and I'll see what your priorities were and what your parameters were. And bless God, next time it comes along, I'll be able to fumble my way through it. Amen? Sometimes if you just keep your mouth shut, people won't know that you're ignorant. But you just die, you just bust in the gut to open your mouth and prove it to the world. It'd be a whole lot wiser just to be quiet. Especially, it's almost always wise to be quiet when you don't know what you're talking about. Amen? Which means a lot of us would have to be quiet a lot of the time. I was at a fella's house a couple weeks ago and I was working away. And it's one of these Infinity systems. It's a Microsoft computer-based thermostat and controls. And it's really new, cool piece of equipment. And I'm working on it and the guy's standing there watching me. And I'm fiddling with it, and it's got about 1,000 options, and I'm looking at different ones to see how they had it configured. And a guy said, does it bother me looking up does it bother you for me to look over your shoulder? I said, no. I said, the only time it bothers me for you to watch is when I don't know what I'm doing. When I know what I'm doing, I'm perfectly confident. Amen? It's just when I don't know, then I don't want you to know I don't know. Hey, listen, if you don't want people to know that you don't know anything, button up. Amen. But inside, you ever think about this? Sometimes you get to talking, you just can't keep that mouth shut, and you let things out of the bag that you shouldn't let out of the bag, and people find out things they shouldn't have found out, and it starts a whole nother circus. You say, why? Because you talk too much. You talked about things you had no business talking about. You talked about somebody you had no right to talk about. Or you talked about something that should have been held in confidence. Amen? You know what? A lot of times Christians, they'll come and they'll say, preacher, let me tell you something. I saw all so-and-so. Did you hear about so-and-so? I said, I don't want to hear it. They just spread gossip. They just spreading stories. Amen? And I don't know what they're saying is true or not. I don't have any way of finding out. But they just bust in a gut to tell somebody what they've heard. Did you ever think about this? Not everybody needs to know everything you know. If you know some little piece of dirt, if you know some little secret, what makes you think the rest of the world wants to share in it? Amen? I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to know all the dirt in your life. Amen? Say, how do you keep them finding out? Keep your mouth shut. It's real simple. If you didn't talk so doggone much, nobody would know. Half the time you gave it away yourself. That's this generation we live in. That everybody's got to tell everything they know. You know, you meet them on a plane or something or on a bus, and by the time you get to Atlanta an hour later, you know everything about them. They've told you their whole life history. Ladies, I don't want to know. I don't care. I've got problems of my own. Sometimes it's wise to know when to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it's wise to know when to keep yourself from some things. We live in a day and age when Christians have got the idea that, well, we're under grace, we're not under law, all things are lawful. I can do anything I want to do, I can go anywhere I want to do, and it's all off. Nobody's got a right to judge me about nothing. Really? You know something? I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. I think that there's some things you ought to keep yourself from. Amen? I think you ought to keep yourself from anything that can take you captive. Ain't it something? Here you go see a full-grown man, full-grown woman, 35, 40, 50 years old, and they are controlled by, they're beat up on, they're dictated to, and led by the lips by a 3-inch cigarette. Wherever nicotine goes, that's where I go. Say, who's in charge of your life? The cigarette. You get ready to go on vacation, the last thing you want to do is check, make sure you got enough cigarettes to hold you. Amen? I remember being a boy, you know, we'd go out to the river and we'd run out of cigarettes. We'd go out there and go fishing. We'd be out there all night. We'd run out of cigarettes. We would get up in the middle of the night, drive all the way to town, find someplace open, and get a pack. My mom and daddy, we'd go on vacation. They'd put a carton in the thing, you know, take a carton of cigarettes with them. We'd go on vacation. If they ran out of cigarettes, vacation was over. We might well be. It wasn't going to be no peace and tranquility. They're going to fuss, fight, and raise hell till somebody went and got one. Amen? Say, what? Who's in charge of this thing? Pell mell! I don't want nothing in my life that can hold me in bondage and dictate to me how I've got to live. Amen? I don't care whether it's chewing, what's that, scope, yeah. We got them boys at work. They walk around, they've got this little thing on their butt right here, you know, and they reach back and they get that thing. Tap it, you know, and you got to do it just right, you know, to be cool. And then they take the lid off, and they put the lid under that finger, and they got just like one compact thing. And you got to do it just right. You see them play in that box. I've been watching them. If they run out of school, they'll leave the job. They'll borrow a truck and go down to the 7-Eleven and get one. I'm serious to heart at that. They come in there, that guy's smoking dope. If they can't wait till quitting time, they sneak around behind the building. We caught, I don't know how many, they sneak around behind the building, there behind them trailers, and smoke them one of them little left-handed cigarettes. I mean, if you'd have just waited 20 minutes, you'd have been at home. I'd have. Who's in charge of your life? Your habits are in charge of your life. You don't run you, they run you. Amen? Now listen, it's wise to stay away from anything that can take charge. I want to be in charge of my life under Jesus Christ. I want to be able to decide where I go, what I do, what I eat, what I drink, what I want to be in charge. I don't want some substance dictating to me what I've got to do and when I've got to do it. I I'll tell you something funny. Go to a Bible conference or a camp meeting sometime with somebody that smokes. And you go in there for the morning service. You get in about 8 o'clock, and they just had breakfast. And they go in, they have 3 or 4 songs and a couple of testimonies, and somebody gets up and preaches. And then they have some more songs, and somebody else gets up and preaches. And it's 12:30. It's 12:45. It's 10:01. And they're sitting there like this. And you know what they're wanting? They want that morning break, buddy. You know what they're going to do? They're going to head out to their car, jump in their car, and head down the road. And when they come back, they're going to smell like a smokestack. They'll eat a cert and pretend you can't smell them. But they've been miserable all morning long because they've been sitting there dying for a smoke. It's wise never to hang out with things that can control you. Some things, it's just good to stay away from them. If you've got beer and wine, stay away from it. Cigarettes, stay away from it. Marijuana, stay away from it. Prescription drugs, stay away from it. If you got any wisdom. Now, if you're dumber than a brick, just help yourself. Sometimes it's wise. I got hurried on it. I was really having fun, though. Sometimes it's wise. Now, listen to me. Sometimes it's wise to know how to say what you must say. Now, listen to me. Sometimes it's wise to know how to say what you got to say. Sometimes people get angry at us or upset with us as much or more about the way we go about a thing or the way we say a thing as what it is we actually say. Some people just don't have any wisdom when communicating with other people. Now, in the pulpit, I have a lot of liberty up here because I'm talking to an audience in general, and I represent God up here. If I talk to some of you in person, one-on-one, like I talk to everybody in general from the pulpit, you'd be mad. Amen. I got enough sense to know that. When I leave the pulpit, I've never talked to anybody like I've talked to everybody from the pulpit. So why? Well, I need a little wisdom in dealing with folks. If you don't want them mad, if you don't want to run them off, if you want them to keep them coming back, you got to suck up. So, I mean, you have to be careful how you talk. Somebody say amen right there. The honest truth is, and I know it doesn't apply to anybody here, it's always some other group, but the truth is most folks I've run into in the last 62 years, folks are very, very, very thin-skinned. Now, they got hides as tough as a rhinoceros when you're dealing with somebody else. But, buddy, when they think it's directed to them, you'd be surprised how easy it is to get them mad. Now, when you deal with your children, the Bible said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, that can be for a number of different reasons, but one of them is the way we talk to them. They say you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. Amen? If we talk to our husbands or our wives or our children like we talk to our best friends, half our problems disappear. Amen. Your friend can disappoint you or do something, and you'll take it in stride and forgive them, and they'll say, listen, let me explain that. This happened and this happened. It's okay, no problem. Let your mate do that. Lord have mercy. You think they committed a felony or something. I mean, you're ready to take the roof off the place. Let your kids do that. You don't give them a chance to explain or nothing. I mean, you just dive in head first. You're down their throat. Amen. Sometimes we need wisdom in how to say what we got to say. We need to learn to talk to people calmly, rationally, intelligently, respectfully. I know that's not an independent Baptist thing, but it's a wise thing. Amen? People say, well, preacher, I just always speak my mind, you know. I'm just noted for that. Well, I'll bet you're noted for a lot of other things too. Like being nuts. You know, you just don't have the liberty to say everything that comes into your little head. Sometimes you've got to button your lip. And if it's necessary to say anything, sometimes it would behoove you to maybe take a day or two to think it over before you make that response that's so required. By the way, a lot of times if you spent 2 days thinking about it, you'd find out you really didn't need to say nothing. Sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing. A husband and wife really need to learn that. Amen. I don't know which one of these I'm on. Oh, number 8 or 9. Sometimes it is wise. Wisdom is discerning who to listen to. You know, sometimes the biggest mess you get yourself into is listening to the wrong people. Now, the honest truth is that not only do we have a hard time discerning who to listen to, the truth is we have a hard time listening to both sides. Most of the folks I know make up their mind after having heard only one side of the story. And they did that because the side they heard is the person they like. And their decision and their position got nothing to do with right or wrong. That's irrelevant. Why are you standing by someone? Oh, they're my friend. Yeah, but your friend is wrong. Well, I don't care. They're my friend. Well, I care. I want to be on the side of right. Amen. If Brother Lewis did something that was wrong, I said, Brother Lewis, I love you and I appreciate you, but you need to get this thing fixed or that's wrong. I mean, there just ain't no way around it. Amen? You need to get it fixed. We'll still be friends. I'll still love you, but I'm not going to pretend it's right and I'm not going to take your side in it and fight against the other side when I'm clearly convinced you're wrong. Amen? Are we not about truth? Are we not about righteousness? Are we not about right? Then we ought to listen to both sides. Then decide. Then make up your mind. And go with truth and right over friends or family. Yeah. Amen? But that's not how it's done. Now, the truth is, most folks just don't have much discernment in listening to people anyway. I watch them kids back in the back. You can learn a lot from young people. They sit back there amongst themselves and settle all the world's issues. Now, this is a bunch of guys making $8, $9, $10 an hour, living payday to payday, spending $7, $8, $9 a day eating lunch and buying school, getting drunk every Friday night, driving a used junky automobile, living in a shabby rundown apartment, no clothes, and no prospect of any change. They've been living like this for years, and the way they're going, they're never going to be able to do anything else. Amen? But they sit back there and talk amongst themselves. And they listen to each other. And here's a guy as dumb as the first guy, in the same predicament the first guy's in, listening to the second guy give him advice on how to live his life. Now, the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Why in the world would you go to somebody in the same dilemma you're in and ask his advice? He's currently making exactly the same mistake you're making because he made all the same decisions you made. Where's the wisdom in that? We need to exercise the wisdom. If you wanted to make money, don't you think you ought to listen to somebody that's made money? Why would you listen to a guy as broke as you are? If you want a successful marriage, why would you talk to a fellow been married 4 times? You figure he learned something by the process? There's no inherent wisdom in a ceremony, ladies and gentlemen. I never will forget. I have two friends. They own a pawn shop. I'll not call their names. Everybody probably knows them anyhow. But I was going to play golf with one of them one day. And he said, Bobby said, let me call my wife and make sure we don't have anything going on. I said, sure. And his brother stepped up and said, ain't no women tell me when I can play golf, what I can do. And his brother said, that's why you've been married three times too. I about rolled in the floor, son. But he's absolutely right. This guy wasn't asking permission. He was just being considerate. He'd have been it takes a jerk not to call his wife and say, listen, I'm playing golf today. You know, we had so-and-so playing. Well, I already told Brother Bob I'm playing golf with him. You'll just have to. That ain't right. The right thing for him to do was call up and say, listen, Bob asked me to play golf. Have we got anything going on? Hey, man, he's still a man. He's just a courteous man. He's just a man that's probably going to stay married to the same woman the rest of his life. Amen. Or at least he's not going to have to fuss and fight with her every night. He knows how to give in. Sometimes you need to know who to listen to. You need some wisdom in discerning that. Don't listen to everybody that flaps their gum. If I want to know something spiritual, why in the world would you ask some guy on a bar stool? Amen? If you want to know what God thinks about something, why would you talk to somebody who's never been to church a day in their life or read a Bible? Why wouldn't you come down to the church house and see me and Brother Lewis? Lewis has been through it 50, 60 times. I'm way over 100 times. I've been doing this 34 years. I've got some experience. I mean, I don't know everything, but I bet I know more than that guy that's never been to church or picked up a Bible in his life. Amen? But people, they'll ask their next door neighbor. They'll ask the guy at the job. They'll sit on the bar stool and drink beer and ask religious questions. Weird. Weird. Why not go down and ask a guy that spent his whole life studying the one subject? My only claim to fame is this book. Number 10. I'm hurrying. Ooh, I got to hurry. Sometimes wisdom is knowing who you can trust. I listen to people all the time. Oh, I can trust him. He's my friend. And they're always fussing and fighting because their friend did them wrong. Or their friend stole something from them. I remember one night we were getting ready to go on a cruise. We're going to be gone 9 months. This guy had an extra room in his house. So he rented his room to his best friend who wasn't going on the cruise. And so his best friend had a rented room in this guy's house and this guy's wife was at home. So 7 months into the cruise, he gets a letter. Anybody want to guess what the letter was about? I thought, you deserve it. Anybody that stupid's got it coming. I mean, you worked hard for it. You deserve it, son. I didn't do that. I tried to comfort the guy and console him, you know, because he was all upset and broken. His friend betrayed him. His wife betrayed him and all this. And it was pitiful and it's heart-wrenching. But it was just plain stupid. It didn't have to be that way. I'm here to tell you, son, if I'm getting ready to go on a 9-month cruise and I'm going to be 12,000 miles away, I wouldn't rent my back room to the Pope.
Amen.
Amen? Just nuts. People are nuts. Talking about no wisdom. I got to hurry. You need to learn who you can trust. Number 11. Sometimes wisdom is placing the proper value on things. You know the honest truth is? You don't have to have everything in this life right now. The truth is, you really don't have to have all the things this world has to offer at all. You need, if you've got any wisdom, you'll learn to discern and decide and place proper values on things. Now, the way to do that is this. If what I want in this life, I don't care what it is, I don't care what it costs, I don't care what I don't care if it's a boat or an airplane or a house or a car or a new suit or a pair of socks. The criteria is, if it will impact me in a negative sense spiritually, I don't need it. If it will take me away from God, make me less effective, make me less in love with Him, I don't need it. I only want those things in my life that will encourage me and help me and enable me in my walk with Jesus Christ. And so I have to learn to decide. Now, there's a lot of other things I could throw in here, but I'm running out of time. I want those things in my life that will help me to be a better Christian, a better, more faithful servant, a more profitable servant, lead more people to Christ, encourage more people in the things of God. And so I have to decide, because some things are going to take me away from God. And so when something pops up and my flesh says, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I want one of those. I got to have that. There's a commercial that was on TV a while back, and this slinky girl says, I forget what it was about now, and she said, I totally don't know what that means, but I want it. That's the way the world is. We don't even know what some of that stuff is, but it just sounds so good, we got to have one. Well, what's it going to cost me? Will it interfere with my time to study? Will it interfere with my time to pray? If I do it, will it hinder my testimony? Will it rob me of the power and the peace and the presence of God? If it will, I don't want it. See, you need to stop and think about things. You need to exercise some wisdom. Instead of just saying, oh, I want one of those. I'm going to get me one of those. Come hell or high water, whatever it takes, boy, I'm going to have one of them. What's it going to cost you to get it? You say, well, it's only $5,000. It's only $10,000. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the real things in life. What will it cost you? Will it make you have to work overtime and cause you to lay out of church? See? You better look. Find the principle. Work on the principle. Number 12, whatever it is, and I'll be through. It is always wise to trust God. And it is always wise to put God in every situation. All those things I listed there, all 11 of those things, if you'd put God in the equation, it'll help you make the right decision every time. It will help you to exercise wisdom every single time. Take God out and you can make the same mistakes the world made. Put God in it, you've got a shot at doing it right. Amen? Anytime you leave God out, you're at risk. Anytime you put God in it, you got a shot. Amen? If you're wise, you put God in everything in your life. There's nothing, I mean nothing, that God Almighty is not involved in. There's nothing you can do you ought not to pray about. You say, well, what about personal things? Buddy, the more personal it is, the more you ought to pray about it. Amen? What about intimate things? Buddy, God ought to be right in the middle of that. There ought not be any part of your life where you leave God out. If you want to do it right, if you want to do it wisely, you must keep the only wise God in it. David was very wise in 1 Samuel 21. Amen? Let's be wise. Let's pray. Father, help us now to live for Thee. Help us to exercise some discretion and show some wisdom.